In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've tuned in. On today's program, I'm going to be considering a question from one of the listeners and also going to be mentioning a couple of books that I can recommend to you. So, as I mentioned yesterday, if you do have any questions about anything you hear on the program or anything about the Bible or about the Christian faith in general, please feel free to drop me a line and let me know and see if I can try and help you with those questions. My email address, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. gospeltalk@hotmail.com. And you can also leave your comments and questions on the blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. And at the blog, you can also find past programs. You can listen to them over again if you want. You can also find various resources mentioned on the program. So let's get right to the question for today. A question from a listener by the name of Mark. How could King David have been called a man after God's own heart when he unapologetically kept a concubine of thousands of women? Why didn't God chastise him for it even once? None of the explanations, for example, that it was the custom of the time, that I've read online are very satisfying. Well, I think the fact that David was a sinner, and yet he was declared to be a man after God's own heart, I believe that's a testimony to the depths of God's grace. I believe that that's told us in Scripture so that we would be impressed with the magnitude of God's grace. Even though David fell into sin, and not just once, but repeatedly throughout his life, David believed God's promises. Hebrews 11:32-33 mentions him as being one of the, what we sometimes call the heroes of faith. But he's mentioned there as someone who believed God's promises. And for an Old Testament believer, according to Galatians 3:6, that was the same as believing in Jesus Christ. For David to believe God's promises that were meant to lead him, that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that was the same as believing in Jesus Christ for us today. And it also resulted in justification. God declaring him to be right with him. David was declared right with God even though he was in and of himself a sinner. That's true of all believers. We're all sinners. But yet God declares us to be right with him because of Jesus Christ. David had his blind spots. You know, these concubines, big blind spot, but David had his blind spots just as we undoubtedly have ours. Yet God's grace was broad enough, sufficient enough for him. You know, I think it's comforting for us to know that. It's comforting for us to know that God's grace is sufficient for someone like David, then his grace can also be sufficient for me. Wonderful. Good news, isn't it? And as to the other question of whether God chastised David, or why didn't God chastise him for it even once? Well, I don't know if that's entirely true, because David had all kinds of trouble in his life because of his sins, because of his inconsistencies, and because of his failures. Now, I could mention all kinds of examples, but just to take one particular example, we have that tragic story of Amnon and his stepsister Tamar in 2 Samuel 13, a really ugly story of incest. That story would never have taken place if David had been monogamous. Indeed, maybe Solomon learned from observing his father's life before God. Maybe he learned what we read in Proverbs 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. That's in Proverbs 3:12. You also find it referenced in Revelation 3:19 and Hebrews 12, verse 5. So I think it could be argued that God did in fact chastise David and discipline him for his failings, for his weaknesses, especially with respect to his wives. I don't think there's any sense at all that the Bible approves of what David did with his hundreds of wives or what Solomon did with his hundreds of wives. These wives proved to be trouble for both David and for Solomon. Later on, you know, we read about how these wives turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord through idolatry. That was a problem. So I hope that answers the question. And again, if there are any other questions that you may have as listeners, please feel free to send them in. Let's move right along then to a couple of books that I want to draw to your attention. One is called Why We're Not Emergent by two guys who should be. The authors are Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck. Now, I should mention right here at the outset that I'm going to put the names, the titles of these books on the Gospel Talk blog. So if you don't get them down off the program here, feel free to go on the internet and find them listed there. You may have to scroll down the page to find them, but they will be there. The title again of this book, Why We're Not Emergent, by two guys who should be, Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck. Now, Kevin DeYoung is a young Reformed pastor from East Lansing, Michigan, and Ted Kluck is one of his parishioners and a journalist. Both have many of the qualifications to be part of the emergent movement, but neither is. And in this book, they explain why they are where they are. Now, if you're not familiar with the emergent church, if you don't really know what it's about, it's a diverse coalition of authors, pastors, theologians who've become disillusioned with much of North American Christianity. And they share common themes, protests, and ideas. Essentially, the emergent church movement is an application of postmodernism to Christianity. It's been very influential throughout North America and also beyond. Now, yesterday, we talked about Rob Bell and his view of the virgin birth and the incarnation of Christ. He's one of these popular figures. Others include Brian McLaren, Leonard Sweet, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, and others. This book, Why We're Not Emergent, is a deft critical examination of the emergent church movement. Now, the authors share some of the concerns of the emergent crowd, but they find the remedies that are offered by the emergent people to be troubling. Ambiguity, skepticism, uncertainty, doubt. They're embraced by many emergent people. Creeds and confessions are found to be seriously alarming, as are other careful formulations of doctrine, such as systematic theology. Furthermore, many of them are uncomfortable with the Bible as the foundation for faith and life. And they even go to the point, some of them, of vigorously protesting the Reformation motto of sola scriptura, by scripture alone. They have a problem with that, many of them. This book, Why We're Not Emergent, by two guys who should be, what makes this book worth recommending is not only the helpful description and the analysis, but also the manner in which it's all communicated. You know, this is a really well-written book. And DeYoung and Kluck, they alternate with most of the chapters. DeYoung's chapters tend to be more analytical and theological, whereas Kluck offers a more breezy, you could say, layman's description and assessment of the movement. I'd say if you're going to read just one book about this subject, about the emergent movement, make it this book, Why We're Not Emergent by two guys who should be, Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck. Excellent book. Now, the other book I wanted to bring to your attention today is a book called Meet the Puritans by Joel Beakey and Randall Peterson. Meet the Puritans, Joel Beakey and Randall Peterson. Now, it was C.S. Lewis who warned most sagely against the prejudice against old books. In his introduction to a very old book, which was On the Incarnation by Athanasius, one of the early church fathers, Lewis advised that if ordinary readers were to have to choose between old and new books, they should always choose the old. He wrote, "And I would give him this advice precisely because he is an amateur and therefore much less protected than the expert against the dangers of an exclusive contemporary diet. A new book is still on its trial, and the amateur is not in a position to judge it. Lewis concluded that the best rule is that having completed a new book, one should never pick up a new one until an old one has been read in between. And he concluded, if that is too much for you, you should at least read one old one to every three new ones. But then that raises the issue. How do we find the old books that are worth reading? That brings us to the value of a book such as this one, Meet the Puritans, by Joel Beakey and Randall Peterson. In this thick volume, Beakey and Peterson introduce us to a wealth of wholesome old books and their authors. Now, these authors are known as the Puritans. Now, it's unfortunate that the Puritans have developed a reputation both inside and outside Christian circles as being dour, legalistic killjoys. The American journalist H.L. Mencken famously quipped, "Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, might just be having a good time." Meet the Puritans presents a much more sympathetic and nuanced view of these Christian brothers and sisters of old. In a helpful preface, the authors point out that the Puritans were biblically oriented, passionately committed to Trinitarian theology, ecclesiastically grounded, and smitten with the gospel. Beakey and Peterson elaborate, and they say, doctrinally, Puritanism was a kind of vigorous Calvinism. Experientially, it was warm and contagious. Evangelistically, it was aggressive yet tender. Ecclesiastically, it was theocentric and worshipful. Politically, it aimed to be scriptural, balanced, and bound by conscience before God in the relations of king, parliament, and subjects. Now, format-wise, we could describe this book as being a concise encyclopedia of Puritanism. The book covers the time from William Perkins, which he was born in 1558, to Jonathan Edwards, who died in 1758, and we have figures here from America, England, Scotland, and the Netherlands. And so the reader who wants to follow the advice of C.S. Lewis to read old books, I think will be well served by this guide. You know, I've read a lot of the Puritans. Not all of them are equally worth reading, and I'll be honest, not all of their books are equally accessible. But this book will point you in the right direction. And so I'd like to let C.S. Lewis have the last word today. He says, every age has its own outlook. It is especially good at seeing certain truths, especially liable to make certain mistakes. We all, therefore, need the books that will correct the characteristic mistakes of our own period. And that means the old books.
This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Our goal here at Gospel Talk is to faithfully preach the gospel in season and out of season. That's also the goal of the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church. This program comes to you today through their generous support. You can find the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at 17473 60th Avenue in Cloverdale. That's just off 176th Street. Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. Guests are always welcome. You can find more information about the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. That website again, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. You can also write us for more information, or if you have questions about anything you've heard today, write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI for more biblical instruction with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Abounding Grace can be heard Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m.